This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
Good. Let's then get started with the Gemara. At the end of the last year, I think it was, we made a comment, and I just want to expand on it a little bit. David, this will be a bit of a repetition of the David Altshuler, a bit of the repetition of some of the learnings we did the other night. When the Gemara says on the pasuk for Yotzo Chinom ein kesef la'adoin ze, aval yesh kesef la'adoin acher, this particular pasuk is really crucial to the sugya. This is the pasuk from which we learn that the kesef, the money received from the act of kiddushin of a katana or a naro, goes to the father. And we learn it from the implication in the pasuk that when a girl becomes a naro, she leaves the ownership and the authority of her adoin, of a master who might have purchased her labor, chinom. There is no requirement to pay, even if her full time is not up. If she has become physically mature, she leaves that authority, chinom, and there's no payment. And then the pasuk adds ein kosef. Ein kosef is unnecessary, it's redundant to say that there is no money. We've already said chinom. And from that, the Gemara learns ein kesef la'adoin zeh. Here there is no kesef. The Torah is emphasizing in this particular case of a woman leaving the authority of an adoin, there is no need to pay money. However, in the other case of a woman needing to leave an adoin, there is the payment of money. Umani, and what is that? That's the case of a husband, of a baal, a chosen, being makadish, a young girl, and removing her from the authority of her father, who really is her adoin. And I mentioned to you that Rashi and Ksubis adds that the reason we can say that with such certainty, that ein kesef la'adoin zeh, there is no money to owing to this particular husband, but there is money owing to a different husband, is because, and if you look at the Rashi, those of you who have the Ksubis open in front of you, whether you have a Gemara or you've got the piece that I emailed to you last night, if you look at Rashi, it's about 8 lines from the beginning of the Gemara on Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis and Kesuvos, and Rashi says, "Umanu Av, who is that person who gets money when the daughter leaves his, when the girl leaves his authority? That's the father. She'ein adoin labas Yisrael elo avio, because it couldn't mean anybody else. A young girl, a Jewish girl, has no other master other than her father. Chutz mizeh shenim karolo, with the exception of this case of an adoin." To whom she has been sold, who actually purchased her labor, he too is an adoin. So if we look at this, we see that in our sugya, we're talking about three authorities over a young girl. There's the authority of a father. There is the authority of an adoin, a man who's bought the rights to her labor. And there's the authority of a baal, of a husband. When the pasuk says, no money passes when a woman leaves the authority of the owner, the adoin, the person who's purchased her, when she becomes a naro, we say that's the only case where no money passes. But in the case of a girl leaving the authority of her father through an act of kiddushin, there is money, there is kesef kiddushin, and the kesef kiddushin does belong to the father. The money is paid to the father. And we need to ask, how is the Gemara so sure? Maybe it's baal. Maybe what it's coming to teach us is that when a woman leaves the authority of her husband, there's money that has to be paid. That would make more sense. Since he acquired her with kesef when he married her, surely when there's a divorce, she has to buy her way out. She's got to give back her ring. There was, I saw in the news, a crazy case in the United States of a couple who's where the husband had donated a kidney to his wife, and they then got divorced, and he was claiming the kidney back. So I guess here too, if he was Makadisha with a ring, or with kesef, or with gold, perhaps the pasuk's coming to tell us that he's entitled to claim it back when they get divorced. No, says Rashi, there are only two adoins. It can't possibly be talking about the husband. The husband is a baal. He's not an adoin. There are only two possible adoins that a girl can have, her father and a slave owner. somebody who's bought her labor. A baal is not an adon, and that's a very important yesod. That's a very important principle. A baal is not an adon. A husband is not an owner. He owns only one thing. He has purchased only one thing, or he has invested in only one thing, and that's the Rashi right at the beginning of the Masechta. He has only invested in the rights of exclusivity. The only thing she has given up, the only piece of real independence she has given up, is her right to marry somebody else. And with that come various halachas. There are various halachas that come as a result of that, particularly in the area of tzniyus and yichud and things like that. If she has no right to be with another man, then she has no right to make herself specifically attractive to another man. She can make herself attractive for her husband and for herself, and then if other men find her attractive, that's not her business. But the laws of tzniyus is that she's not allowed to do anything, not an action, not a gesture, or not a form of clothing designed specifically to make herself attractive to another man, because that is denying the one thing that the husband did get the rights to. But that's all he gets the rights to. In every other area, the rights are reciprocal. He owes her certain things, she owes him certain things back. She owes him certain things, he owes her certain things back. Everything else is reciprocal. Everything else is virtually negotiated. There's an equality in everything else except that one. And it's because of the lack of equality that he has to pay for it. It's because of that lack of equality that he has to invest in it. He has to buy her. He has to give her something for it. She's giving up something for him. She's denying herself the freedom to choose another husband. And for that denial, she gets compensated. So the kesef kiddushin is an actual form of compensation for something she's giving up. But everything else there's no compensation for, because in everything else there's not adnus, there is no ownership, there is only baalus. And it's important to understand the difference between an adon and a baal. An adon, if you look at an adon, for example, is a word of great honor. So when Avram addresses the three angels that come to see him, he didn't know they were angels, but they were honored guests in his mind. He calls them Adonai, he calls them my masters. We call Hashem using the name Adnus. Whenever we use the word Adon, there is a degree of respect, of kavod, of honor in that name. Not so the word Baal. It wouldn't be honorable if somebody very respectable comes and comes to you and you want to address them, it wouldn't be a respectful thing to call that person my baal. Only a woman calls her husband her baal. But in any other case, we wouldn't do that. A baal is not respect. Why is it that adon is a statement of such respect? Because adon implies one-way obligation. I am obligated to my adon. If I am a slave, I have obligations to my adon. It's true that there are certain halachas as to how the adon has to treat his slave, particularly in Eved Ivri, which is different. But those are certain halachas. Those are just laws, the same as their laws about how we need to relate to everything, animate and inanimate objects. That doesn't mean that we are owners of those things. We, on the contrary, there are laws that restrict our relationship to the world because we're not the world's owners. We don't own it materially. We don't own the people in the world. We don't own the animals in the world. We don't own the environment in the world. So there are laws that restrict us because we're not owners. Those are the kind of laws that a slave owner has, that an adon has. But there are things that he owns, an adon owns, and has no obligations for. Ownership of adnus doesn't create obligation. Ownership of adnus, mastery, creates obligations of the one who is owned towards the adon. And so we have obligations to Hashem. That's why we call him adon. He has no obligation to us. We have obligations to him. It's a one-way relationship. He's not our baal, he's our adon. And as such, we call him Adon, which means everything he does for us is Chesed. And that's why Yudkei Vovkei, which is the name of Chesed, we specifically for that name, we use the name Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. For For Elohim, we don't use Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, because that's a different relationship. That's a relationship of justice. But Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is a relationship of Chesed, which means whatever you're doing for me, you don't have to do for me. You're doing it as an act of Chesed. That means you're an Adoin. That means you're a master, not a Baal. A Baal is completely different. A Baal is a two-way relationship. But before we go into a Baal, let's look at a father and a child. The same thing. A father doesn't have a responsibility to a child in the way that a child has to the father. Kibud Avaim is a one-way responsibility. A child has to be mechabed a parent enormously because the parent is an adon, the parent is a lord for that child. And the child has to see the parent as a lord. The child has to see the parent as a shutuf with the Ribbono Shel Olam and sees him in the place of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The child has huge chiyuvim. The parent has no such reciprocal chiyuvim. Even financial obligations cease at the age of 5. Until the age of 5, a parent is responsible financially for a child because they brought the child into existence. But at 5, the child is theoretically capable of earning its own living, even if it has to go out begging in the street. Since it's capable of doing that, the parent's financial obligation stops. Now, of course, morally and ethically, the parent has to continue supporting the child and does. But that continued support is an act of chesed. It's not an act of chiyuv. That's why the parent is an adoin. The parent has no chiyuvim. The parent does chesed. An adoin does chesed. A baal is mechuyov. When a husband takes care of his wife, that's not chesed. That's not kindness. When a husband takes care of his wife, that's chiyuv. Just as when she takes care of him, that's chiyuv. So when two people have obligations to one another, the rights that they own in one another are as baalut. When the rights are one way, when I have rights in you and you have no rights in me, then I'm an adoin. And a woman has only two adoins, two possible adoins, says Rashi. The one adoin is a slave owner, the other adoin is a father. So when the Torah says there's no kesef to this adoin, it must mean that the other time that a woman can remove herself or be removed from the authority of adoin, there's only one other time, and that's marriage, that in that case there is kesef and that the money belongs to the father. So the Gemara immediately asks and says, I understand that from the posuk of Yotzo Chinome in kesef, we learn that there's a transference of money. But the Ema Ledido, maybe, says the Gemara, and we're now about 12, 13 lines down from the top of Gimel Amud Beis. Maybe, says the Gemara, Ema Ledido, the money belongs to her. Who says that the money belongs to the father? Answers the Gemara, Hachi Hashto Avil Mekabel Kidusheho, Dichtives Biti Nosati Lish Hazeh, Vehihi Shokla Kaspo. Is it possible that the father has the rights to be mekadesh, to give her away in kiddushin, as the Torah says, is biti nosati lish hazeh, I have given my daughter to this man. That means I had the right to give her away. Ve'ishak l'kaspo, and she would receive the money. So let's just understand the question and the answer of the Gemara. When the Gemara suggests maybe she keeps the money, I understand from the posuk of en kesef, which means in the case of a young girl being removed from the authority of her father, of her adoin, there is the transference of money. All we can learn from that posuk is that there is a transference of money. That posuk does not tell us that the money belongs to the father. Maybe the money belongs to the girl. So then what would the father's right? We've already learned in the Mishnah, in Ksuvis, that ha'av zakai bevitoi bekidusheho, bekesef bishtar v'biyo. We've already learned that the father has a schus in his daughter's kiddushin. He has a schus in his daughter who is a naro, and kol shchein, he has a schus in his daughter who is a ketano. So what would that mean? What is the Gemara asking? What would that mean? So we would have to go back, as we said last week, that what that would then mean is that the father does it as a shaliach, not as a principal. The father acts as an agent, not as a principal, which would mean the owner of the rights of kiddushin is in fact the young girl. However, the father acts as a shiliach. He can give her away in kiddushin. The Torah gives him the authority to give her away in kiddushin, but not the ownership. So very often an individual can make or authoritative decisions over an asset, but that does not necessarily mean that he's an owner. He could be a shiliach. And where do we see from the posuk of Vayotzar Chinom in Kesef that the father is a principal and not an agent and not a shiliach? Answers the Gemara, and says that can't be because it's biti nosati liisha zeh. He has the right to give her away. V'i ishak l'kaspa. If he has the authority to give her away, he is the owner. Now, according to Rashi, this works very well because Rashi explained, you'll remember in last week's shir, if we go back to Zakai Bevitei, that third thin line of Rashi, Shakesef yeh shiloi v'hu mekabel hashtar v'hu mosu l'biya al korcho l'shem kiddushin b'oido na'ara. You remember Rashi's view of ownership was that if an individual has the right to freely dispose of an asset to whomever he pleases, then that individual is the owner. Tosfos, based on the Yerushalmi, assumed that there has to be a financial benefit to that right, otherwise the right doesn't necessarily mean ownership. So in a way, according to Tosfos, the Gemara's kasha is a little bit clearer, because the Gemara is saying, maybe she's the owner of the right to give it away, but that doesn't mean that she gets the money, maybe he gets the money. And the Gemara's answer then is, you can't separate the two. If she has the authority, then she gets the money, because the two are inseparable. According to Rashi, it's a slightly different angle, according to Rashi, it works well, because Rashi's laid down a principle last week. Rashi's principle last week was, the person who has the authority to choose how to dispose of an asset and to whom to dispose of that asset is the owner. A shiliach might actually do the disposal. A shiliach might be appointed to transact, but the choice, the ability to give away an asset, the ability to alienate an asset, and the choice of to whom to give that asset is what really determines ownership. And therefore the Gemara answers, we know that the father has the right to make that choice from Isbiti Nosati Li Shazeh. That's part of what the father declares when in the case of Hitzah Shemra, that's in Dvorim Chof Beis, Posuk Tezayin, the Omar Avi Hanaro El Hazakenim, the father of the Naro says to the Dayonim, after the husband has accused her of unfaithfulness, and he starts and tells the story, the father says, Isbiti Nosati Li Isha Ze Li Isho Vayisno Eho. I gave my daughter away to this man as a wife, and he has hated her, and therefore brought all of these accusations against her in hatred of her. But Isbiti Nosati Li Isha Ze, from the fact that the Torah puts those words in his mouth and says, I gave my daughter away, we see clearly that he has the sole authority to give her away, to choose to whom to give her away, to choose when to give her away. And if he has the authority to give her away, he is owner. And if you're an owner, Rashi learns the financial benefits or even the intangible benefits that come from that ownership automatically accrue to the owner. You cannot assume that a person owns something and when he disposes of it for financial benefit, that financial benefit goes to somebody other than himself. You can't separate ownership in that way. So although Rashi says financial gain is not the symptom of ownership, the symptom of ownership is authority to dispose, financial gain is the outcome of ownership, and as such cannot be separated. So if the father has ownership, and what does that mean according to Rashi? It means authority to dispose. Then clearly the resultant financial benefit that comes from that must also go to the father. That's what the Gemara means according to Rashi when he says, "Hachi hashta avio mekabel kidusheho, dichtev ispisi notati lish hazeh, ve'ihi shok lo kasbo." Let's learn that inside the Rashi. Says Rashi, ve'emo ledida, havi hai kesef. Maybe asks the Gemara, the money belongs to her. The whole loiksiv ein loy kesef, because it doesn't say in this posuk there is no money to him, meaning the slave owner, implying that to the other adoin there is money. If that's what the posuk would have said, if the word posuk would have said ein loy kesef, v'yotza chinam, then I could have learned that money goes to the slave owner, but money does not go to the other adoin in the case of a transaction. The tedok mino, then I could have learned, ein kesef la'adoin zeh, but there is kesef la'adoin acher. Elahachi dok mino. But the way it's actually written in the Torah, we can only deduce the following. Ein kesef b'yetziyazu. In this transaction of yetziya, this emergence from authority entails no financial transaction. Aval yesh kesef b'yetziyo acheres. But there is financial implication to the other transaction of emergence from adnus. That means the transaction of kiddushim. Ulo elon ledido, but we're not told anything in this pasuk about who gets the benefit of that finance. That's quite possible that she does. How can you see from the pasuk that he does? Answers the Gemara in Rashi, v'ihi tishku kaspe, is it possible that he has the authority and she gets the money? Bitmi o efsho she'al chinom ziko hakosu v'kabalas kidusheho. Is it possible that the Torah gave him the rights of kabalas kidusheho al chinom? Now, al chinom is a word I just want to understand quite clearly what that means. Rashi doesn't say lechinom. Lechinom would mean for naught, for no benefit. But al-chinom means for no meaning, for no purpose. So if I say you are the owner of this asset, and that means, according to Rashi, you have the sole authority to decide whether to dispose of it, how to dispose of it, when to dispose of it, and who to dispose of it to. But if I say to you, however, if you choose to dispose of it by means of sale, the money isn't yours. That's not shaykh, it's not possible. What kind of ownership is that? So clearly when there is a financial implication to the disposal, that financial benefit must go to you too. That's how we're learning Rashi. Now if you refer to the Ritvo that I sent you, if you have it in front of you, if on the page that I sent you, it's the second last paragraph of the right-hand column. It starts with the word ufarkinon. That word ufarkinon might be a little bit blurred in the photostat that you've got. Ufarkinon, and the Gemara answers, Hashto aviho mekabel kidusheho dichtives piti nosati liisha zevi shaklo kaspo perush. That means, says the Ritvo, kivan de zichto lo toro sheroshe lekacho bar korcho v'shelo imidato. Since the Torah has given him the authority to be able to be Mekadesh against her will, by force even, and against her will, Ihu Chashiv Makne Uval Dover. He is considered the Makne, he is the principal in the transaction of Kinyan, he is not a Shiliach, Uval Dover, he is the authority, he is the transactor, the principal transactor, and in this respect, regarding the right to her kiddushin, the right to her exclusivity, is considered his asset. A young girl's right to choose a husband belongs to a father, and a father can convert that right into money. Because the kivan de'ihu havi makne, since he is the principal transactor, over a right that belongs to him, it wouldn't make any sense that the money gained from that transaction does not belong to him. For if she would get the money, then she would be the baldover. How could that be? Then she would be the principal negotiator, or transactor. And then the husband is like a shiliach. If you're going to divide authority and benefit, then we're going to say the Torah has designated the husband, the father, as a shiliach and given him temporary authority to make certain choices as a shiliach. And in that case, how could he be mekadesh baal korcho? Now, most people seem to learn this Ritvo as being chilek on Rashi. That means the Ritvo seems to be going more like Tosfos in saying the real test of ownership is the money. Because if the money doesn't come to the transactor, then the transactor is a shiliach. Whereas the way we learned Rashi, it was different. We said according to Rashi, the indicator of ownership is the authority to transact. yes, I can give that authority to somebody else. As a shliach, I can appoint somebody else. I can take that authority and I can give that authority to a shliach. But the primary owner of the authority is the absolute owner. And that primary owner can get financial benefit from that authority, or he can give that authority to somebody else. Therefore, says Rashi, since the father is the primary owner, the girl didn't give him the right to marry her off. He is the primary owner. The Torah gives him that ownership. That's not shlichus, that's ownership. A consequence of that is that the money then belongs to the father. It couldn't possibly belong to anybody else because he's owner. The Ritva learns it a little bit differently and says, if the money did not go to the father, then although the father has authority, if he doesn't get the financial benefit, he is shliach, not principal. He is agent, not principal. But it's not altogether clear that the Ritva is Cholek on Rashi, because the first part of the Ritva, he seems to be going more along the lines of Rashi. He's saying because he has the right to be Mekadesh or Bar Korcho, that's why Ihu Chashiv Makne or Vardova, Uchamamoino Hi Chashuva Ki Inyanze. The Ritva very clearly states, as Rashi does, that it's the authority that gives him the ownership. It's because he has the authority that he has the owner. That he has the ownership. And he merely adds in the other part to say, if you're going to separate financial benefit from authority and say one person has the authority but somebody else has the financial ownership, the only way you can do that is with shlichus. And clearly he's not a shliach, because if he were a shliach, he couldn't do it bal korcho. Where does a shliach get his shlichus from? Where does a shliach get his rights, his authority as a shliach from? He gets it from the owner. So in this case, let's just reason it through, says the Ritva. If the money were to go back to the girl herself, then the husband is only, then the father is only a shliach. Who appoints the father a shliach? It must be the owner. Who is the owner? The girl. If the girl is the owner, how can the father marry her off against her will? A shliach can't do something against the will of the mishaleach. That couldn't be. In the Havamina, we thought, maybe the Torah makes him a shliach. Maybe the Torah says you are an agent for the girl, and I, the Torah, Hashem, am giving you the right to make these decisions. But the Gemara moves away from that and says, no, Spiti Nosati Oish Hazeh, you have complete authority, and the Ritva is not willing to contemplate the fact that the authority to choose a husband for her is mitam shlichus, because there's only one place the shlichus could come from, and that's from the owner of the rights. And if the girl gets the money, the girl is the owner of the rights. Clearly, therefore, since the girl is not the owner of the rights, we know she's not the owner of the rights because she doesn't get, because she can be given away by korcho. She has no say in who she marries at that age. Therefore, those rights belong to the father. If the rights belong to the father, the money belongs to the father too. And I don't see a machlokes between the Ritva and Rashi. On the contrary, I see the Ritva as expanding on Rashi and explaining the view of Rashi a little bit more clearly. Let's go a little further. So the Gemara says, maybe v'eimah hani milik tano deles lo yad. Maybe the reason that the father is the owner of the rights of Kiddushin in his daughter is because she doesn't have a yad. She is not capable of being a principal. Being as she's under 12 years old, she cannot make any decisions that have financial implications. And we call that she doesn't have a yad. She doesn't have legal status in matters of transaction. She doesn't have a legal hand, lekabel Kiddushin, to be mekabel the Kiddushin. And therefore, the father is appointed in her place as a shliach, but as a shliach both with full authority and with financial benefit, because that's the right that the Torah gives him to act in the place of his daughter who has no yad. Aval na'aro de islo yad lekabel kiddushin, but a girl who's over 12 years old, girl who's between the age of 12 and 12 and a half, she is a Nara, and she does have legal capacity. She does have a yad, and she can make legal decisions. Taktish ihi nafsho betishkul kaspo. Maybe she makes her own decisions of kiddushin, and she gets her own money. So is biti nosati l'ish hazeh, that's talking about a katana. And Rashi and Tosfos both explain that even though the posuk in Ki Tetzeh is talking about a naro, because the it's quite clearly says the lokach havi hanaro ve'imo v'tzios besilei hanaro ziknei ha'ir hashar, keeps on talking about a naro, and when we get into Tosfos, we'll see Tosfos proves it even further that it must be talking about a naro. Rashi and Tosfos both say she's a naro at the time that he lays the claim of Hitzah Shemra. But when he was Mekadesha, at the time of the Eirusin, she could still have been a Ketana. So then, is Biti Nosati L'Ish Hazeh, I gave this girl away when she was a Ketana. At that time, I had full authority, and yes, I got the Kesef Kiddushin, because she didn't have a Yad to be Mekabelis. But how do I know that that applies to a Naro as well? And we've learned that the Mishnah in Ksubas Daf Mem Vov that says a father is Zoche B'Kiddusheho, the father has ownership of the kiddushin of his daughter, applies not only to a naro, to a katana, but also to a naro. How do we know that? In the case of a naro, let us say rather that she can be mekadesh herself for tishkul kasbo, and she herself can take the money. Omar Kro, the posuk says, answers the Gemara, bin ureho beis aviha. Now there's another reason why it can't possibly be that she gets the benefit of the kiddushin, the financial benefit, because we have a posuk already in Bamidbar where we talk about Nedorim, where we're told bina ureho beis aviho, when she is a naharo in her father's home. So we see that during that period of narus, she's considered beves aviyo. What does it mean, beves aviyo? She's in the structure of her father's home. Kol shvach nurim la'aviyo. That means that any benefits she earns, any financial gains she makes during that time of narus, the Gemara learned, still belong to the father. Although she has legal authority, the financial gains of that period belong to the father. And since he gets the financial gains, he can be mekadesh her, he can make the decisions about Kiddushin, and he gets the financial gain. So we learn it all from the Ureho Beis Aviyah. So what have we got now? We have three psukim. Well, we have the posuk of Ki Yikach Ish Isho. We learn Kicho Kicho from Stay Ephraim that Kinyan Kesef works. And we've discussed to what degree is that really so that we actually learn that from that Gezeirah Shovah, and we're going to discuss that in a few minutes a little bit more, in a little bit of a greater detail. Then we have the posuk of Ein Kesef La'aden Hazeh, the Yotzo Chinon posuk, that is at the core of the sugya, from which we learn that the money of Kiddushin that comes to a father, the money that comes as a result of Kiddushin goes to the father, and even if she's a Naro, because if she's a Naro, kol shvach nurim la'avio, anything she earns goes to her father. So that's how we learn it. Let's look at the Rashi again. The ema hanimili dezaki le lekablom bekatanuso she'en lo yad. Maybe this, which the Mishnah tells us, and the Torah, that the Torah gives him the rights to her kesef, to the money that comes from kiddushin, is when she's a katana and has no legal capacity. The lav bas da deohi, because she has no legal intelligence. But we know that the posuk of Motzi Shemra, from which this posuk of comes, is talking about a naro. Dichtiv benosnu la'avi ha'naro. Lo ilom de kitcho nihalo bekatnuso. It could well be talking where the kiddushin took place while she was a ketano, and the Hutzah Shemro took place when she was a naro. Aval naro de islo yad mishivio shtei saros gedoyla lecholdova. Once a girl has matured physically into a naro, she is like a gedoyla for all matters, lechol onshim, when it comes to punishment, ulamomin, and all financial transactions. Shemekho mekach, anything she sells is sold. Anything she purchases is purchased. Umem koro memka, and anything she sells is sold. In this case, asks the Gemara, ihi takdish nafsho, let her let her marry herself off and get the benefits. Answers the Gemara, Binu Reho Beis Aviho, Hachi Dorish Lo, this is how the Gemara learns it. Calls man Shibinu Reho, for so long as she is a Naro, he shall Aviho, she is still her father's. The whole Shvach Habolo La Avihu, because any benefit, any financial benefit that comes to her, comes to the father, not to her. That's where we learn it from. Now I want to learn two short Tosfosim, one in Kiddushin and one in Ksubas. The Tosfos in Kiddushin is the Emo Ledido. Asks Tosfos, V'im Tema, Ho akorchach lo itzrich kro, ela loyma shehein la'av, Dehoda mekatcha bekesef gomor kicho kicho misdei efren. Let me just give you an introduction to this Tosfos, and then I'll relearn Tosfos' question. We're dealing here with two possible ways of learning a chiddush out of a posuk. The one way of learning a chiddush out of the posuk is what we call yitur, and that is the posuk is redundant unless it has something new to teach us. If the posuk is redundant because whatever it teaches us we already know, we're entitled to assume that there's some further progression of the law we already know that this posuk comes to add. It takes the law even further than we would have thought without this otherwise redundant posuk. That's called yitura dekra, an unnecessary posuk. There's another way we can learn from a posuk, even if a posuk isn't redundant. It comes to teach us a certain halacha. But in addition to what it teaches us, there is a mashmos haposuk. There's something the posuk gives us information, gives us some additional information. That additional information is used halachically, even if the posuk is not meyutar, even if the posuk is not redundant. Now, Tosfos' assumption here is that the posuk, the entire posuk of the limud of Ein Kesef La'adein Ze'av, Al Yesh Kesef La'adein Acher, the whole limud of Ein Kesef is miyutar. It's unnecessary. You don't have to tell us that there is money transacted for Kiddushin, because we already know that from Kicho Kicho Misdei Ephra. In that case, this whole posuk is miyutar. It's redundant. And again, I'm talking about the deduction from the posuk. The fact that no money is paid to the slave owner when she becomes a naira, I need the posuk to tell me that. But Ein Kosef, those last two words of the posuk, are redundant. What do they teach me? Ein Kosef la adonai, there's no money in this transaction of a girl leaving the authority of an adon. But there is money when a young girl leaves the authority of her father to become married. I know that from Kicho Kicho. So this posuk is redundant. If this posuk is redundant, it must be adding to the law that I already know. And if I know that there's kesef in the case of Kiddushin, that kesef is one of the legitimate forms of kinyan, what does Ein Kosef in this posuk, what does it come to add? So asks Tosfos, it must come to add that the money belongs to the father. So how does the Gemara suggest the Eimo Ledido? How could we possibly assume from this posuk that the money belongs to the girl? Then the posuk would be telling me nothing I don't already know. So let's look at the Tosfos inside. The Eimo Ledido, v'im tomar ho al korchoch loy itzrich kro, ela loy ma shehen lov. By force we have to say that this posuk of Ein Kesef comes to teach us that the money belongs to the father. The harder mekadsha bekesef, the fact that money works in kiddushin, gomer kicho kicho misdei efron. That we know already from Stei Efron. I don't need the posuk to tell me that. I don't need this posuk to tell me that. So what havamina has the Gemara got? How does the Gemara even think for a moment that this posuk comes to teach me that money is transacted, that money is transferred in kiddushin, but it doesn't necessarily go to the father? V'yesh lomar, answers Tosfos. The yitur still would not tell me, the redundancy would still not tell me that the money that is transacted for kiddushin goes to the father. Im ein mashmos dikro, if it wasn't specifically implied in the posuk. Why? Because further on in the maskona of the Gemara on Daf Dalad Amud Bey is a page ahead. The Gemara comes to the conclusion that we actually need both psukim. If it had only said ki yikach, but it didn't say but it didn't say ve'yotzo chinom, then I would have thought, sorry, let me just get that clear. The Gemara says on the next page, if you want to look over on the next page, you'll see it. It's the Gemara that starts just above the Tosfos Heicha D'Yavo L'Didei V'Kidashtoi. In the middle of the page, you'll see, that's Dalet Amud Beis, you'll see a Tosfos Heicha D'Yavo L'Didei V'Kidashtoi. Just about two lines above that in the Gemara states in Etzrichuta. Etzrichuta means where you go through a process saying why you need both psukim. Ve'itzrich l'michta ve'yotzach, you know? Ve'itzrich l'michta v'kiyikachish. I need the posuk of a Yotzach Hinnom, and I need the posuk of Ki Yikachish. Why? The ikos of Rachmono Ki Yikach, if I only would have learned Kicho, Hava Amina Kiddushin, the Yahiv Lo Baal, Dido Havu, I would have thought that the money belongs to the girl and not to the father. If we just learn from Kicho Kicho, I know that there's money transacted, but I don't know to who it goes. Kos of Rachmono V Yotzach Hinnom, so the Torah teaches us, Ein kesef la'adoin zeh, aval yesh kesef la'adoin acher, to teach us that the money goes to the father. Because of Rachmona v'yotzochinon, and if we only had v'yotzochinon, this posuk, but we didn't have the limud of ki yikach, havamina hechad diyayev, ihi l'didei, I would have thought that where she gives the money to him, v'kidashto, and she's mekadesh him, she brings a ring to the wedding, and she says, "Hare atam kudosh li." I might have thought, "Havu kiddushi," because of Rachmona ki yikach veloi ki tikach. That's why the Torah says, "Ki yikach." He must acquire those rights from her, not she from him. And we learn that from ki yikach. So the Gemara on Daf Dalet says we need both of these psukim. So we couldn't manage with ki yikach alone. We wouldn't be able to learn from ki yikach alone. We actually need these two psukim. So let's look at the words of the Tosfos again in our Tosfos on Daf Gimel Amud Beis. V'yesh loymar de mikol makom miyeturo loy noymar shehen shel av. Merely from the additional posuk, we wouldn't know that it's the father's. Im ein mashmos dikro, if it weren't actually implied in the posuk itself, just from a redundancy, we wouldn't know it. That a kaman baskanan amrin dahani trei kro etzrichi, because it's actually not redundant. We really do need both psukim. The one posuk on its own couldn't teach us that. The important thing that I want to learn from this Tosfos is really in Tosfos' kasha, and that is the Tosfos gives continued credence to the limud of kicho kicho. And unlike Rashi, you'll remember Rashi said twice. He said it once on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, and he said it once on this Amud. Rashi has said that the main place of learning that Kesef is a valid transaction for Kiddushin is from the Yotzach Hinnom. It's this Gemara that's learning. It's not from the Kicho Kicho of Stei Ephron on Daf Beis Amud Aleph. That's just to explain to us why we use the word Kinyan in the Mishnah. It's a linguistic study there. It's not a legal study. From a legal perspective, this is where it's discussed. Tosfos disagrees. And Tosfos, right through the Sugya, assumes that the fact that money is a valid form of transaction for Kiddushin is still learned from Kicho Kicho Mistei Ephron. And that's why he asks, if I already know that that money works from Stei Ephron, then any Yitur, any additional posuk must teach me that the money goes to the father. Because I know otherwise that there is money. What would I learn if the money went to her? What would this posuk be teaching me? Tosfos answers, no, at the end of the day, we actually need both psukim. There isn't a yitur. But what's important here is that Tosfos learns that the kicho kicho, the limud from Stei Ephron, still applies, it still works. And that leads Tosfos to his question in Ksubas. So if you have the Ksubas in front of you, either the photostat that I sent you or your own Gemara Ksubas on Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis, have a look at the little Tosfos, the second Tosfos on the page. Remember that the Gemara in Ksubas is almost a mirror image of the Gemara in Kiddushin. So we have a Tosfos here in Ksubas, which we don't have in Kiddushin. But we could just as well. It could just as well have been in Gemara in Kiddushin. Tosfos asks Tema, Lamai desalke daitin hashta. If at this point of the discussion, so we're going back one step in the discussion, we're going back to the point where the Gemara says it's impossible to think that he has the authority to give his daughter away, as it says, "Isbiti nasati lishazeh," but the money goes to her. That's an impossibility. Now that we've established that the authority to dispose and the right to financial benefit are inseparable, then why do we need the posuk of v'yotzachinam altogether? The mekadshe b'kesef shamin en michi yikach. Because we know that kesef is a valid form of kinyan, we know that from ki yikach. So we know money works. The question now is, who gets the money? Uma isbiti shamin ala delo havi lidido. And from isbiti nosati, we learn that the money doesn't belong to her. Isbiti nosati means the authority belongs to the father. If the authority belongs to the father, our assumption is the financial benefit belongs to the father too. How do we know this financial benefit? Because of kicho kicho misdei Ephron. So if you know kicho kicho misdei Ephron, so you know this financial benefit, and you know that the father has the authority to dispose of the rights to kiddushin, then clearly the father has the rights, and we've circumvented the need for the posuk of a yotzochino. That's Tosfos's kasha, a very powerful kasha. Why do we need the yotzochino? If isbiti nosati lishazeh, which teaches us the authority and therefore the ownership that the father has over these rights, why do I need the posuk of a yotzochino? Now, according to Rashi, this is not a problem, because according to Rashi, we don't know anything from kicho kicho. Kicho does not tell me that kesef is a valid form of kiddushin. That I don't know from that posuk. Kicho only tells me why we use the word kinyan. The very fact that kesef is a valid form of kinyan, I learn in fact from the ein kesef. Ein kesef la'ada in zeh, yesh kesef la'ada in acher. So there I learn that there is a financial transaction. And could I say that the girl keeps the money? There's a financial transaction, but the girl keeps the money? No, I can't say that because of isbiti nosati lishazeh. The father has the authority, and Rashi learned very clearly, the one who has the authority has complete ownership. Ownership includes the rights to financial benefit. And therefore, from the two psukim, the first one being v'yotzochinon en kosef, and the second one being isbiti nosati lishazeh, from the two combined, I learned that there is financial transaction, and the financial benefit goes to the father. But according to Tosfos, who has a third posuk, he has a third source. His source is kicho kicho. Ki yikach ish isho teaches us that finance works, that money is one of the transactions. And isbiti nosati lishazeh teaches us that the money that comes as a result of this financial transaction goes to the father. Why do I need v'yotzochinon? What do I learn from v'yotzochinon? So I would like to suggest an answer, and that is that I could have thought from isbiti nosati leish hazeh, I could have thought, yes, there's authority to give her away, but how would I know that that authority includes financial benefit? Where would I know that from? Because I could say just from isbiti nosati leish hazeh, just as Rashi said, that the fact that a father can give her away bishtar, no financial benefit, that still makes him owner. The fact that he can give her away bevio, no financial benefit, that still makes him an owner. Since he's an owner, there could be financial benefit. But the ownership, the rights of ownership are the outcome of his authority, not of the financial benefit. So maybe even when it comes to kiddushei kesef, esbiti nosati l'ishazeh could mean I have the right to give her away. The same as I could have given her away bekesef, b'shtar bevio, I could give her away with a kinyan kesef, but it could have been like a kinyan suda. It could have been something where there's no financial benefit. How do we know from isbiti nosati l'ishazeh that the father actually has the rights to financial benefit? It's nosati. Comes kiyikach. Kiyikach teaches me that there is, according to Tosfos, kiyikach teaches me that it's like a purchase, that it's not just a giving away. It's not that I have the right to give a gift. Isbiti nosati l'ishazeh could teach me that I have the rights to gift her away. But it doesn't teach me that I have the rights to sell the rights of exclusivity and get the money for it. That I learned from Ki Yikach. So that's how I could answer the question of Tosfos. Let's just read through the Tosfos again inside. Why do I need v'yotzochinom? The mekadshe b'kesef shamin em Ki Yikach. I know that money works from kiyikach. Umeis biti shamin alodula havilidido. And if biti nosati lishazeh means that he's the owner of those rights, I could have said yes. He's the owner of those rights to give her away, just as he can bishtar and bia. But the rights of kesef is only when she gives herself away. Only if she gives herself away does she get the rights of kiyikach ish isho. And he actually buys the girl from herself. She buys those rights from her. She gets the financial benefit. Maybe that's what kiyikach means. But is biti nosati l'ish hazeh? I might have thought when the father gives her away, he gives her away as a gift. He doesn't have the right to sell her. It's not proper that a father should trade in the rights of a girl. That's what I could have thought. Comes the posuk of en kesef la'ado en zeh to teach me no. There is a financial benefit that accrues to the father. And that we learn from the third pasuk. Interestingly enough, Tosfos doesn't answer that way. And probably the reason that Tosfos doesn't answer that way is because Tosfos holds like the Yerushalmi, you'll remember, and that is that the rights of disposal authority does not constitute ownership. Ownership means financial benefit. So esbiti nosati l'ish hazeh would mean nothing. You can't. The fact that I can give her away must imply financial benefit, according to Tosfos. According to Rashi, it doesn't have to apply financial benefit. It might imply some other form of benefit. Because according to Rashi, the rights of disposal is what ownership is all about. According to Tosfos, ownership, you'll remember last week, is about the capacity to convert an asset into cash. If you have the ability to convert an asset into cash, then you own that asset. If you don't have that capacity, then you don't own that asset. So according to Tosfos, esbiti nosati l'ish hazeh itself implies financial benefit. It implies absolute ownership. And with absolute ownership comes the capacity to convert to cash. So Tosfos' kasha comes back again and says, in that case, what do I need? En kesef la'adon zeh, aval yesh kesef la'adon acher, man nihu av. What do I need that posuk to teach me the father gets the money? I know it in any case. Now, Tosfos' question is not relevant as the Gemara unfolds, because we're not going to be using these psukim in any case as the sugya unfolds. But right now, where we're holding at the moment, Tosfos has difficulty and doesn't resolve it. He doesn't answer it. We suggested an answer, but that answer only works l'shitas Rashi, that authority determines ownership, but not l'shitas Tosfos, that capacity to convert to cash constitutes ownership. And therefore, it's actually surprising to me. I saw subsequently the Shita Mekubetz had quoted in Kiddushin. I haven't seen the Shita Mekubetz inside yet, but I saw it quoted that the Shita Mekubetz wants to answer Tosfos the way we've just suggested, that the Gemara might be assuming at this stage of the discussion that when a father gives his daughter away, he has the authority to give her away as a gift, but not to sell her. And from the Yotzochinom Ein Kosef, we learn that he has the authority, that he actually gets the financial benefit. And I'm surprised, I've got to see it inside, but I'm surprised that that's what the Shita Mekubetzes wants to answer for Tosfos, because that only works for Rashi. The way we've learned the Machlokes, Rashi and Tosfos, there's a principal Machlokes based on a Machlokes, Yerushalmi and Bavli, that according to the Yerushalmi, and Tosfos holds there's no machlokes, Tosfos holds the Bavli goes the same way, and that is that ownership does manifest as financial benefit. Rashi says no, ownership manifests as authority. So we can answer this way according to Rashi, that from his biti is nosati l'ish hazeh, from my ability to give this girl away to this man, that must be ownership. There must be complete ownership, and there must be financial benefit. But according to Tosfos, that according to Rashi, es biti nosati l'ishazeh is ownership, but may not entail financial benefit. So I don't know that the father gets financial benefit other than from the posuk of Yotzochinom en kosef. Not so according to Tosfos, who learns like the Yerushalmi, that there is no divisibility between financial benefit and authority dispose of. They go hand in hand. And therefore, if I have the right to give her away, that means I have the right to any financial benefit that comes from it, and Tosfos is left with his kasha. Why then do we need at the stage of the argument the posuk of Ein Kesef La'ado En Zeh, Aval Yesh Kesef La'ado En Acher? That's where we'll leave it for today. I do want to learn with you the next Tosis, which we'll do next week in Mitzvah Hashem. It's just it's quite a brilliant analysis of the piece of Chumash. So if you could read through in preparation for next week, read through the piece of Chumash of Hotzah Shemro. That's in Devorim Chof Peis, Devorim 22, starting at verse 30, and at Pasuk Yud Gimel. There are a few psukim on Hotzah Shemro where these psukim appear. And then we'll learn Tosfos. It's not a difficult Tosfos. The Tosfos for Enemel Hani Miliktano. And then we'll continue down to the bottom of the Omud and possibly onto the beginning of the next Omud as we start drawing the sugya to a close. So I'm going to turn off the recording, and if anybody wants to ask anything, please stay on the line.